Hello, my name is Anne Rodman. I'm a respiratory nurse specialist working in primary care and an Education for Health respiratory trainer. This podcast is designed to accompany fact sheet number 9 and has been developed by Education for Health and is sponsored by GlaxoSmithKline. And it deals with how to deliver an asthma review during a pandemic and beyond. So a reminder of some of the really important things that should take place during an asthma review rather than just gathering information. Every asthma consultation is an opportunity to review, reinforce and extend your patient's knowledge and skills. And it's very important to recognise that education is a process and not a single event. I'm going to use a format proposed by Ryan et al. From 2013, which is known as SIMPLES. It's an acronym which will help you to structure your consultation in a meaningful way and make sure that you address the really important aspects of your asthma review. It can be adapted to the current situation where a face-to-face in-person review may not be possible or even necessary for the majority of people with asthma. If you can integrate the SIMPLES approach into preparing a personalised asthma action plan from the initiation of your consultation, it will allow a more patient-focused approach and still gather the required information for your primary care records. Personalised asthma action plans need to be seen in the context of the broader challenges of living with asthma. So negotiation about the plan content is key to patient engagement with the plan. So it's imperative to focus on your patient during your review because they may be feeling isolated and anxious at this time, and make sure that you address any concerns that they have about their asthma care and also about the pandemic. SIMPLES is an acronym that stands for smoking, inhaler technique, monitoring, pharmacotherapy, lifestyle, education and support. So using these headings, we're going to think about how this review could proceed. But the first task is to identify what form your review can take. So as a remote review, it's important to know whether you will have access to video consultation software for this particular patient or whether you will just be using telephone. So before you actually start talking to your patient or making contact, the monitoring aspect of your review should begin. You can briefly gather information from the medical record and prescribing data to assess your patient's past symptoms, to look at things like adherence to medications, and also particularly looking at short-acting beta agonist use and their inhaled corticosteroid to SABA ratio. For more information and resources on this, I would strongly recommend the Asthma Right Care website, and you can find that by googling Asthma Right Care, and also you can find it through the Primary Care Respiratory Society website. And this is proposing that we really rigorously look at patients' overuse of short-acting beta agonists as a marker for poor control. It's a way of helping both patients and practitioners understand this. And things like the interactive Asthma Right Care slide rule will help you to determine whether the number of inhalers that your patient has received during the past 12 months is suggesting poor control of their asthma. Many patients and clinicians have a complacency about short-acting beta agonist overuse, and we need to challenge this wherever we find it and help to educate our colleagues and our patients. Once you are in touch with your patient, start off with an introduction and establish if they actually have access to the internet and if this is available to them during the consultation. So if not, it would be quite useful to ask them to have a pen and paper to hand. So this is really focusing on trying to make this review more of a dialogue than your patients are generally used to. It'll be helpful for a number of elements of your review, including checking inhaler technique if you have video consultation, education and support. Ask about whether your patient is aware of or actually is in possession of an existing personalised asthma action plan and if they understand its importance. Suggest that you'll be referring to this and discussing what they would like included in it during the conversation. Even if your patient already has an existing plan, plans should be reviewed on a regular basis, so it's very important to make this the focus of your review, because the other information that you need can be gathered whilst referring to this process of education and support that an asthma action plan will provide for your patient. We can start off by thinking about discussing triggers to asthma, such as smoking. So framing it in this way, rather than as a judgment on lifestyle, can be quite powerful. And Catherine Hickman, who is Vice Chair of the Primary Care Respiratory Society and a GP in Bradford, has provided a really useful video which talks about pandemic restrictions on providing respiratory views, but also says that these changed circumstances that your patient is enduring may present an ideal opportunity to change their habits regarding smoking using very brief advice. If you're not familiar with very brief advice, you can access free training via the National Centre for Smoking Cessation Training website, and that will help you when discussing smoking with patients with asthma, as it's really quite an important trigger, and we know that it does affect the way that asthma medications work where people with asthma are smoking. Next, we can ask about inhaler use, and you want to know whether you'll be able to check their technique using video. But if not, it's very important to think about how we can explain to patients the principles of the technique for the inhalers that they're using and signpost them to resources such as the Asthma UK or Right Breathe website. And you can send these as a link after the consultation, or if possible, you can ask them to access those resources during your consultation so they can actually see what the right technique is for their device. This should be revisited every time we see somebody with asthma, because inhaler technique is such an important aspect of their care. Think about making sure they understand the dose that they're taking of whichever medications they have, when to take them, and reinforce this by including this on the personalised asthma action plan. And this is something that you can explain to the patient that you will be completing during the consultation. It's also essential to assess if your patients understand what each medication does and why and how it helps their asthma, so that you're integrating education and really looking at education gaps and knowledge gaps throughout your consultation. This should lead to a discussion on any concerning features about their current usage. So discussing why patients may be overusing short-acting beta agonists is quite important in addressing some underlying misconceptions that patients may have, such as the outdated idea of always using a blue before a brown inhaler. So it's important to correct these so that their use of short-acting beta agonist inhalers like salbutamol reflects symptoms rather than habits that they may have got into. And that will help us with assessing control. We can then move on to monitoring in terms of looking at asthma control and morbidity. We could ask the Royal College of Physicians three questions or the asthma control test. Asthma control test is more validated and perhaps more useful in assessing their asthma control, and sometimes more meaningful for patients because they can see a numerical score which may help them to understand why they may be poorly controlled. This could be sent to the patient, or a link could be texted beforehand so that asthma control can be discussed together during the call. Some patients may also find it useful to watch, there is a video on the Asthma UK website presented by Dr. Andy Whittemore, which is talking about the use of peak flow monitoring and how that will help with their asthma control. So this is again something that you could signpost or text a link to the patient so they can look at this to help them understand whether peak flow monitoring will be suitable for them to use to help them with monitoring their asthma themselves. And it's particularly important to think about how this can sometimes help to differentiate between a flare-up of their asthma and what may be early symptoms of COVID-19. Don't forget to also ask your patient about flare-ups or days off work or school, and establish what this means for your patient in terms of symptoms they experience and how they recognise when their asthma is worsening, and also the impact on their lifestyle. And this will lead to a more goal-directed discussion, which can be quite a powerful way of initiating behaviour change. Lifestyle may also involve exploring any occupational or seasonal triggers that impact on their asthma control, and whether avoidance or reduction of these is practicable or acceptable to the patient. Brief, simple education linked to patient goals is most likely to be acceptable to your patients. So we don't need to overcomplicate it, but we really need to think about what it is that their asthma stops them from doing and what they would like to be able to do, and suggest how we can work towards those together. Assessment of control will naturally lead to a discussion with the patient about their pharmacotherapy. If their adherence and inhaler technique is good, but their control remains poor, with no option to reduce any known triggers, then options to step up can be explored. Don't forget that in those with stable asthma over the last 3 months, higher inhaled corticosteroid doses could be reduced as per BTS Sign 2019 and the NICE Guideline 2017. The rate of reduction should be gradual and in collaboration with the patient, supported by clear advice on the personalised asthma action plan and regularly reviewed. So step-up options depend on what stage of treatment your patient is at. It will also depend on negotiation with the patient about what the different options are and what they mean in terms of having to take different types of medications such as tablets, bearing in mind that NICE and BTS Sign differ slightly in their step-up recommendations. So this is an opportunity to offer options to patients and see which ones would suit them best. It's also very important to explore options with your patients for what actions to take when their symptoms increase. This will depend on patient preference and also the known evidence base for different approaches. So again, thinking about the evidence cited in BTS Sign and NICE, options for what to do when symptoms worsen could include making early contact with a healthcare provider so that the contact details and accessibility of those need to be explained to the patient. They could include making a change to their normal routine maintenance medications, and bear in mind that the current evidence base in adults suggests that a fourfold increase in inhaled corticosteroid can be effective, but this tends to be much more effective in patients who've got a low dose of steroid to start with, and there's much less evidence for this being effective when patients are on medium and higher doses. The evidence base for this in children is very weak, so the NICE 2020 update on this suggests we should not be thinking about using this approach in children. So it is really important to stress what support is available for patients and how to access support and how to recognise that they need extra support. One of the findings from the National Review of Asthma Deaths in 2014 was that many patients did not understand when their symptoms worsened, either what to do or the possible impact of those symptoms, so did not seek help early enough. And they often had other complicating and predisposing risk factors, such as poor attendance at routine reviews, but were often seeking help from other places, such as out-of-hours care, before they died. So very important during your asthma review to reinforce what patients need to do and negotiate with them about that so that they feel more confident to manage situations where their symptoms may be worsening. It's very important to think about the other things that can increase risk of asthma death. We know that patients who have adverse psychosocial circumstances can be at greatly increased risk. So it's important to stress to patients that there is support available. The asthma fact sheet number 2 contains some useful links to provide mental health support. It's also equally important to consider when a follow-up or review date is needed so that you can emphasise the ongoing support available from primary care. If a change is made, or if you have concerns about the patient's asthma control, then a one-off asthma review is not the end of their story. We should be considering how we follow up, in what format, and how we can assess that patients are strengthening their understanding and their knowledge and skills in managing their asthma. Another really important thing to stress is that the Asthma UK helpline is open regularly, even at times when they may not be able to access their normal primary care provider, so that they could contact the nurse on the Asthma UK helpline to speak to somebody who can give them some advice and support at a time that they need it. At the end of your review, summarise the discussion with your patient. Check any remaining knowledge gaps Check how they wish to use their personalised asthma action plan. Would they like a plan emailed or texted or posted to them? Is there an app they prefer to use that they can add the information to? Stress the importance of keeping that plan available to them, so even if it's a written plan, can they photograph it and keep it accessible on their phone so that they are aware all the time of what they need to do when things change and of what they need to do regarding their regular medications. So, in summary, we've discussed taking a structured approach to an asthma review in a novel format, and we've also discussed some of the things that may be important to focus on that are unique to your patients, so that considering their unique pattern of asthma, what things make their asthma worse, how they manage their medications, what challenges they might have in terms of inhaler technique, and how we can overcome that if we're not conducting a face-to-face review. You'll find some very useful tips on allergic rhinitis and asthma in our other fact sheets and on the previous podcast by my colleague Carla. So quite useful to have a listen to that as well, alongside this one. I'd also like to recommend the YouTube clip, which is available on the Primary Care Respiratory Society website, with Catherine Hickman discussing this new way of working. There is a nice article about how to conduct a telephone review from Andrew Booth, and you can access that via Primary Care Respiratory Society community website. And also we've recommended the Asthma UK resources. Right Breathe website is another useful way of ensuring patients understand their inhaler use in depth, and particularly if you can send a link to them with their particular inhaler, the patient can download the Right Breathe app, and that will take them straight to the page for that inhaler, including the video on inhaler technique. So these new ways of working and technology which can help support our patients will hopefully ensure that the asthma review is meaningful for the patient, improves their understanding, and reduces morbidity by improving their asthma control, enabling them to meet their goals and be able to do more and be less bothered by and troubled by their asthma and reduce their risk of an asthma death. I'd like to thank you for listening, and please look out for the fact sheet number 9 which accompanies this, and also for our future podcasts and fact sheets. Thank you.